Your Bible this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Jonah, one of the most popular, one of the most famous stories in the Bible, Jonah. Once you find Jonah, I want you to find Jonah chapter number one. Jonah chapter number one. Jonah chapter number one. Once you find Jonah chapter one, I want you to stand with me. Jonah chapter one. We're going to start with verse number one. Jonah chapter one, verse number one. We're going to read a sprinkling of different verses here from Jonah. Starting with Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Now look at verse 11. "Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that my sake this great tempest is upon you." Now look at verse number 17 of the same chapter. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now I want you to go to chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into that city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." The sermon this morning is entitled, What to Do If You're in the Whale's Belly. What to do if you are in the whale's belly. Let's pray. Father, take the thought of the day, take the truth of the day, take the scripture of the day, take the preaching of the day, and get glory to thyself. God, help us to pay close attention to what's said. Holy Spirit of God, do a work that is a heavenly work. May we not be restrained by our carnality and the world, but might you take us to new heights. May you do something specific. May you do something heavenly in our midst today. Reach down deep into the hearts of your people and help us, Father. Help us to learn from this great story in your book. Hide me behind the cross. Gag and bind the evil one. Might he have no influence in this service. May he have no influence in this church. Oh, do a work today, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will, and listen to me very carefully. Tolerate my frivolity for just a few minutes. We'll get to where we're going. But I call the sermon, What to Do If You're in the Whale's Belly. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and the word of the Lord said to Jonah, Go and preach to the wicked city called Nineveh. Well, God said, Jonah, go preach to Nineveh. And Jonah did not want to go and preach in Nineveh. There are a variety of reasons why. But he did not want to go to Nineveh. And Jonah, I think, ran home, grabbed his checkbook, grabbed his piggy bank. I don't know how he did it, but he went to his local travel agency and requested a ticket to anywhere but Nineveh. His travel agent said, Jonah, this is your lucky day. There's a price war going on right now, and we can get you a price to anywhere but Nineveh very cheaply. We are going to send you to Tarshish. You're going to go on Tarshish cruise lines, and we're going to get you away from Nineveh. We'll take you to Tarshish, and it's going to be cheap. Now, I think, as the cruise fellow said, now you're going to have to commute from you're going to have to go to Joppa, and then you can go to Tarshish. And you're going to be on board that beautiful cruise line that's going to take you anywhere but Nineveh. We're going to get you out of here. You're going to go on a trip of a lifetime. It's going to be fantastic. While you're on your trip, we're going to give you a snack. You're going to be entertained by the Backslider Band. Your cruise package includes a deep sea fishing experience that you will not soon forget. And for that, all you need to bring is yourself. Sir, here's your tickets. Remember our theme. You may get nuts when you travel to Nineveh, but we promise you a whale of a good time when you go to Tarshish. Jonah got on board that cruise ship, and he went down to the bottom of the ship, the Bible says, so he could take himself a little nap. Often, when we're doing wrong or under conviction, we try to sleep it off. You know, there are people, when you're doing wrong, you just want to sleep it away. But God's about to wake him up here in just a moment. So he went to his cabin, he went down and fell asleep. The Bible says that what happened, remember, he's running from the will of God. He was supposed to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He's now on a ship going to Tarshish. He's not supposed to be going to Tarshish. He's supposed to be going to Nineveh. He's asleep on the bottom of the boat, and the Bible says the Lord sent a terrible storm to that sea so that the people on board thought that they were going to be destroyed. The ship's captain went to Jonah's cabin and said, hey, you know, he probably called him Reverend. I don't like that term. I'm a preacher. Nobody's Reverend but God, if you ask me. But they went and knocked on his door and said, Reverend, oh, the ship's going to sink, and we'd really like to get your advice. And Jonah, probably laughing, said, well, if you find the problem, just toss it overboard. Well, they couldn't figure out what to do because this terrible storm was hitting their ship. And so the Bible says they cast lots. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, they were like rolling dice, if you will. They were trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do? Now, I'd hate to think that I was on a cruise ship out in the Atlantic Ocean and the captain's trying to figure out what to do by rolling dice. And, well, do we turn right? Do we turn left? We're going to turn right. How scary. But that's what they did. And what ended up happening is, and I don't know how the Lord got involved in all this, but they figured out this storm had hit that ship because of Jonah, because he was backslidden. Well, immediately, they went to Jordan and said, you're the problem. They said, we think we're going to follow your advice. What was his advice? Well, earlier he had been joking around, said, if you find a problem, just throw it overboard. You know what they did? They ended up taking Jonah out in the middle of that great, big, vast, blue body of water called the ocean, and they grabbed him and they tossed him overboard. And what happened? According to the Bible, the storm stopped. The tempest stopped, so the people on board were no longer threatened. Their life was no longer in danger. And God had prepared a great fish for that very moment. You say, what kind of fish was it? I don't know for sure. Some think it's a whale. It could be the biggest largemouth bass you've ever seen before. I don't know. And if you want to hear about some big fish stories, you talk to Robert. He'll tell you some. But God had prepared a great big fish for this special occasion. I don't know how God talks to the fish, but I know that he does. I don't know if they got a little radio in their head, but you know, somehow God said, I'll call him Moby, since everybody knows about Moby Dick the whale. God to Moby, come in please. God to Moby, come in please. God, the Bible says God had a fish prepared to swallow Jonah. And I can hear God communicating somehow with the whales. You say, that's not how it sounded. Okay, it sounded like this. You ever watch the Discovery Channel? That's how they sound. If you can figure that out, I'm interpreting the tongues in which I'm speaking now. He said, God to Moby, come in please. There's a backslidden Baptist preacher in the water. Please swallow at your earliest convenience, please. And might I suggest you don't chew. And Moby said, okay, God, you got it. And I imagine Moby went, licking his chops, he said, yum, yum, a delicious, fat, juicy, conference-fed Baptist preacher. He's going to have some of those tasty Stacy Adams patent leather shoes on and a $60 silk tie and a two-piece pinstripe double-breasted shark-skin suit. He's going to have monogrammed shirts and a silk pocket hanky. He's going to have an ink pen, a cross pen with his name engraved on it. He said, these things are delicious. I've read about them. I've heard about them. This is my first chance to have sushi Baptist preacher. And Moby said, God, I've got him on the sonar. He's going down. And the next thing you know, according to the Bible, the fish swallowed Jonah. Now I want y'all to understand something. You watch a lot of junk out of Hollywood and believe it. You see stuff on the internet and believe it. And then there's so much trash, it's pathetic. You just believe everything you read and everything you think you see. This really happened. Now, didn't happen. The fish's name was not Moby. I need to come clean on that. But this really happened. This preacher got thrown overboard, and this fish actually swallowed Jonah. Well, that whale, or big fish, whatever it was pretty happy about all this. And at first, he swallows, and down into the whale's belly goes Jonah. And things were going pretty well at first. Have you ever eaten something, and at first, it's pretty good? Tasted good going down. Then you begin to wonder, I wonder what it's going to taste like coming back up. It didn't take him long. A couple of days, all of a sudden he's groaning. He's belching. It's a Malox moment for him. He takes a fin and he says, Mom, do I have a fever? Or a man to his wife, do I feel hot, honey? Men. They're so tough and rugged till they get sick. Then they're whiny babies. But so, do I have a fever? I need Pepto-Bismol. I got to tell y'all something about Pepto-Bismol. I hate it. Amen. I hate it. I'd rather be sick than take Pepto. To me, it tastes like I'm drinking pink chalk. And if I take Pepto-Bismol, what you thought you were going to keep down, it's coming up with the Pepto-Bismol, and you're just going to have a colorful event is all you're going to get. But this whale, you know, he's got indigestion. His belly's sick. And something's happening down inside him. He's got indigestion. Hey, and you'd be sick too if you swallowed a stinky old backslidden Baptist preacher. So I don't recommend it. Finally, that old whale said, you know, and it's supposed to come out the top of his head, not this. This came out his mouth. And the Bible says that whale puked up, barfed up, vomited, whatever you want to call it. There was a major tossing of the cookies that took place. And he puked old Jonah up. Now, you know what happened? When Jonah hit the shore, so the whale was close enough to the shore, you say, was his nose right up against the shore? No, if there were enough gas in that whale's belly, it could have been, I don't know, it could have been a mile out for all I know. I mean, we do missiles today. God could do a missile and poosh! Jonah hit the shore when he got thrown up. He bounced, and you know what the Bible says? He virtually hit the shore running. He hit the shore running, and he ran as hard as he could. And you know, he ran to Nineveh. He ran to where God wanted him to go in the first place. And then what ensued was that there was a great revival in Nineveh because that preacher got right with God and went to Nineveh to preach that revival. What had happened? Jonah had gotten himself away from God. He was running from God. And this isn't a story just about a preacher. This is about Christians. You get away from God, we run away from God, and then we follow the consequences. Let me tell you, being stuck in that whale's belly was pretty nasty. Pretty nasty. It's lonely in there. No cell phone reception for the people in this auditorium, so you understand. No cell phone. You would have no bars. It's nasty. It was scary. It was painful. It was dark. Hopeless. I mean, when you're in the whale's belly, sometimes you feel like you cry out, "Help! Help! 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 Help!" But who could hear you? Painful. Not things weren't going well. Stinky. You ever got into the entrails of an animal with half-digested food? Nasty. He's in there. Yeah, I mean, he's right in there with that whale's Fruit Loops or whatever he had eaten for breakfast that day. It is a nasty, nasty situation. And it wasn't getting any better. But I'll tell you something. Something happened inside that whale's belly. When Jonah gets finally thrown out, he runs to Nineveh and a great revival comes. Now, let me tell you something. If you or me or anybody, when we get out of the will of God, there are times when as a result of the mess we create for ourselves, we feel like we're in the whale's belly. What do you do if you're in the whale's belly? Hey, if you're here today and you're running from God, can I recommend to you that you learn real, real quick so you don't end up in the whale's belly? But if you do end up in the whale's belly, there's something I think you ought to learn. Ask you, what would you do if you'd gone to the whale's belly? Somebody here might say today, well, I feel like I'm in the whale's belly. Or I feel like I'm about to go into the whale's belly. Or I just got out of the whale's belly. Well, I think I can help you. I call the sermon, What to Do If You're in the Whale's Belly. First of all, if you've been in, about to go, or just got out of the whale's belly, I would say this. If I were you in the whale's belly, I would look around while you're at the bottom of the sea. You say, look around? Uh-huh. I'd look around while you're at the bottom of the sea. You know what I think? I wonder if that whale did not take Jonah to the bottom of the sea after he swallowed him. I wonder if there were not a way that God could communicate with that whale. And I wonder if somehow in this catastrophe that had taken place, that God wasn't doing a work in the heart of Jonah, and Jonah was not being reminded of some things, if Jonah was not spiritually being prodded and pushed to remember that when God saved Jonah, God saved him and put his sins in the depths of the sea. If that whale had a big picture window on its side, God could push a button and the window went up and they were at the bottom of the sea, and Jonah could see the piles and the piles of the sins of people that God had put at the bottom of the sea. Why? Because God loved people, and God said, I'm going to save you and I'm going to forgive you. And God said, I'll put your sin in the depths of the sea. Now, I don't know what all took place. I just know this. I know that they were on the ocean and he got thrown overboard and he got swallowed by a whale, and a whale could take him to the bottom of the sea. I do know that in Micah chapter 7, verse number 9, the Bible says, and thou wilt cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. And if I were in the belly of the whale, I'd want to remember something. However I got myself in this mess, whatever I've done, whatever's going on here, I better remember back to the fact that God saved me, and he gave me a clean slate, and God forgave me of a whole bunch of sins, and I better thank God that I don't have to face my sins that are at the bottom of the sea. I think God was saying to Jonah, you better take a good long look at what I've done for you. You're not going to hell, and I have taken your sins and placed them as far as the east is from the west. I've taken your sins and I've put them behind my back. I've taken your sins and I have amnesia. I've taken your sins and I've put them at the bottom of the sea. And I'll tell you, If I had a chance to talk to Jonah, I'd said, Jonah, while that whale takes you to the bottom of the sea, you better realize what God's done for you. You better get back on track. You better realize God saved you. You better realize God's forgiven your sins of the past, the present, and the future. And while you're in that ocean, at the bottom of that ocean, remember what God's done for you. And get back on track. I'd tell Jonah, I'd say, Jonah, while you're at the bottom of the sea, I would not gather any souvenirs. Leave your past sins there. Don't drag any souvenirs back to the surface. But we do know that Jonah was swallowed by a whale and he was in the depths of the sea. And when he got spit out, he took off and said, I'm getting right with God. I'm getting right with God. Somehow in my thinking, I think it somehow is associated with how God put our sins at the depths of the sea. And Jonah, while he was in the belly of that whale, came face to face with the sins of his past and present and future and the forgiveness of Almighty God. And I think it has something to do with the revival that you see in the life of Jonah thereafter. And Brother Daniel, when he comes back in, he can just sit there in the hallway, if we could please. So, what do you do when you're in the whale's belly? Well, number one, I think if I were you, I'd look around while you're at the bottom of the sea and realize what God's done for you. Number two, I don't think I'd want to come out of the whale's belly till I learned my lesson. You say, you know, and I realize that he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, or that length of time, and it associated with Jesus being in the being buried and resurrected 3 days later. And I realize there's a correlation there. But let me tell you something. I wonder if it had not been for that specific correlation, I wonder if he shouldn't have gotten out of the whale's belly quicker than that. I wonder if God had to take a little extra time to work on him to make him realize, I don't want you to ever be back in this situation. I don't want you to ever get into the whale's belly again. And I tell you what, folks, if you ever feel like you're in the whale's belly, why don't you learn from it? I dead sure wouldn't want to go back for seconds, or I wouldn't want to go back and be seconds if I was in the whale's belly. I had a buddy in high school. His name was Steve. And I was 16 years of age, and I wasn't a great soul winner or anything, but I knew how to tell people about Jesus. See, he was a pretty wild fella in our high school, and we lived just a handful of miles away from the border between Indiana and Ohio. In Ohio, the legal drinking age was 18 years of age. Well, in Indiana, it was 21 years of age, and there were people that would go from our school and our town, and they would go over the border so they could get beer and things and then drive back over with it. And Steve was a partier, and he was just a kid in high school, but he figured out a way that he could get liquor and everything. And one day I'd witnessed to Steve, and I told him he needed to get saved, and I was just trying to be good to him and tell him the truth. I remember one Saturday morning I woke up, and my mom said, "Man, did you hear about the bad wreck here in town?" I said, "I didn't." She said, "Well, it's in the newspaper, and Steve had an El Camino. He had taken it out. He was going like 100 miles an hour down a winding road, and Steve wrecked that El Camino, and he was in the hospital. He was near death." I remember going out, and our high school was all panicked about it, and we thought that Steve was going to die, and it was bad. He had just totally destroyed his car. When he got out, I remember him walking through our high school. He had a cane and had one eye just about half shut, and he walked like this, and he was messed up bad. Well, I got a chance, and I didn't embarrass him, and I said, "Boy, Steve, I really want to talk to you about getting saved and all." And he didn't get saved. I couldn't believe it. His first accident took place about the end of our sophomore year, the beginning of our junior year, in the midst of our senior year. Steve got him another car. I think this was a Saturday night, because on a Sunday, my pastor stood up in church and said something about, said, "There was a terrible accident. A young person from our local high school is lingering between life and death right now." I thought, man, I wonder who that is. The local high school, that's where I went. I got home and remembered it, and I checked on it. It was Steve again. He had taken another car, ran it off a bridge, broken almost every bone in his body. And I thought to myself, you almost destroyed yourself by doing this once. Now you turn around and you do the same stupid thing again. By the way, I had compassion, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me why someone would want to nearly destroy themselves once and then turn around and do the very same thing, not but a year and a half later. You know what? I would have rather he stayed in the whale's belly just a little longer the first time, so he never had to go back to the whale's belly a second time. I think if I were in the whale's belly, I'd want to say, I want to learn my lesson now. I want to see how bad my situation is now. I want to see the darkness, and I want to see what my sin is doing to me now. I want to see that. You know what? I think this. I really believe this. I believe that the prodigal son, I don't think he went back to the pig pen the second time. If you ever find yourself in the pig pen, let's make it a one-time event. Go to the pig pen once, okay. Go to the pig pen twice? Why? I'd say to Jonah, hey Jonah, if you're in the belly of that whale, let me tell you something. When you're at the bottom of the sea, you better remember the hell that God saved you from. You better remember God's forgiveness and the way God treats you. I'd say, Jonah, listen, if I were you, don't be in such a hurry to get out of the whale's belly that you don't learn enough of a lesson that you don't find yourself back in the whale's belly again. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Don't be like the dog that'll throw up and then come back and eat it. That's what a dog will do. And God is saying, a foolish person, hey, a foolish Christian, they'll go out and get themselves into a mess, and rather than learning their lesson, they go back to it a second time. If you're going through a difficult time, whether it's self-inflicted or others inflicted, why don't you say this? Why don't you say, dear God, while I'm feeling this, while I'm going through this, while I'm facing this, help me to learn every lesson from it that I can. God, help me to distance myself a million miles from that kind of behavior and from that kind of action. I need to learn because I never want to be here again, and I never want to have a broken heart again, and I never want to hurt people like that again. I believe that Jonah needed to make sure that while he was at the bottom of the sea, that he was in the whale's belly long enough to learn what God needed him to learn. Hey, listen. Hardship is not always a sign that somebody's backslidden. Don't misunderstand that. You say, well, I know somebody that's going through hardship right now. They're in the whale's belly. Well, they must have done something bad. Well, we've all done something bad, just so you know. But not all hardship is a result of someone being backslidden. That's not your call, and you're not supposed to be making that call. The only person you need to make that call on is you. But I am telling you that there are hardships that come in our life, and it may be we're going through a whale's belly experience. And so, while you're at the depth of the sea in the whale's belly, I'd be checking and remembering what God did to you when He put your sins at the bottom of the sea. Might I say, don't be in such a hurry just to get out of it that you don't learn the lesson, because if you go back the second time, it might not turn out as good as it did the first time. You better beg God, plead from the depths of your soul. I never want to go back to this kind of a mess in my life again. I never want to go through this kind of pain again. I want to get it fixed. Let me say number three. After I faced my sin, I wouldn't spend all my time blaming everybody else. The human race is fantastic at this. I am the way I am. It's my mom's fault. I am the way I am. It's my dad's fault. I think we're all influenced by one another. But, you know, there comes a point in life when you have to take personal responsibility. And I've never found people that get over the whale's belly experiences that find everybody wrong except for themselves. You have to take, to whatever degree you're responsible, you have to take responsibility. I've been counseling and helping people for a long time. And look, I've had, boy, the Christian school. You would not believe how many kids can get in trouble at the Christian school, come in and see the principal, come in and see the pastor and say, is that stupid teacher? It's that teacher. No, it's your child. I mean, they did that. Well, they wouldn't have done it had it not been for Joey. Well, Joey might have influenced, but folks, do you all understand, you and I, we both say yes or no to right and wrong. And let me tell you this. I love you and I am your friend. But I could never help you if all the time when you get yourself into a mess and you get away from God and you do the Jonah thing and you end up in the whale's belly, if it is just everybody else, you know what you're doing? You're going back to the whale's belly. You're going back. Because you have to take some personal responsibility. And we all teach that to our children. We have to tell them, if you did wrong, just fess up and, you know, take your licking. Psalm 51:3 is a powerful, powerful scripture. Do you remember when David made his mistakes and Uriah was killed and Bathsheba and the lying and all that went on with it? You know what David said in Psalm 51:3 when he was getting it all right with God? He uses these words, "My sin is ever before me." The reason why he came back with a powerful revival is because David said, "I did wrong, I'll take responsibility for my part." You know what? He did okay after that. I had a buddy named John, and he was a county sheriff. And funny, we'd go. I'd get to ride with him. I have to get special permission. I'd get a ride with him. I loved doing it. I felt like a cop, you know. I'd go riding with him, and when I went, I'd wear my cowboy boots and everything. I wanted to look like I was, you know, Walker, Texas Ranger, and. I'd go with him. But you know, everybody he pulled over and everybody that he needed to arrest, you know what they always, it was somebody else or something else. I remember one time we pulled somebody over and the guy said, "I'm guilty, I did it." And John said, "What?" He said, "I'm guilty, I did it." And John said, "I'm gonna give you a ticket. I'm not gonna give you a ticket. I'm just gonna have a heart attack. You did it?" "Yeah." "I'm sick," John said. "I just can't believe this." Can I tell you all something? You're less apt to go back if you'll be honest and just say, "Okay, I did that. And it was wrong and I shouldn't have." I remember the time that I swiped some penny candy when I was with my mom. I forget how old I was. I must have been 4 or 5 years of age, and we had gone into Murphy's 5 and 10. Any of you ever hear of a Murphy's 5 and 10? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. You're telling your age. I went to a Murphy's 5 and 10. You know where they put the food out, the candy and stuff? They had these big jars, and they put it right out there where you could get to it. It wasn't up where big people could get to it. It's where 4- and 5-year-olds could get to it. So I thought, yeah, I might as well have some of that. I put some in my pocket. We got in the parking lot, and man, I had taken that candy, so I'm popping out a Tootsie Roll to eat it. There's no sense in leaving a good Tootsie Roll in your pocket. My mom said, "Jeffy." You all remember Dr. Jeffy to you. But she said, "Jeffy, where'd you get that?" And I got my mouth full. "We what?" I got in trouble. My mom made me go in and tell the man the truth. Can I tell you something? Telling that store owner what I did broke me. I was stealing Tootsie Rolls. I just went for the gum thereafter. No. But I'm telling you that, hey, have you ever told the truth on yourself and it was so humiliating and so powerful you thought, "I don't want to have to do this anymore"? That's so important, folks. If you don't want the whale's belly experience, if you don't want to go back a second time, what do you do? Remember how God saved you. And remember that He put your sins at the depths of the sea. And when you're in the whale's belly, hey, make sure that you don't try to just get out of it, but you learn from it and you grow from it and you're strengthened. Hey, you know, I know people that have been in the whale's belly, and when they came out, they were better than ever before. And it was almost like the whale's belly somehow was used in the will of God to catapult them to levels of a success that they would never have experienced before. But you're not just trying to get out of it. You're trying to get it fixed. And then you make sure that you don't want to blame everybody. Just take your part of it and attend to your part of it and get that right with God. And then may I say this. If I'd been in the whale's belly, for whatever reason, sometimes you feel like you're there because of somebody else. Sometimes it's your sin. And you know what? Sometimes you might even end up to a degree in the whale's belly because that's life. Well, if I were you, I would run to God with all my might when that whale spit me out. In Jonah chapter 3, I'm going to read this to you. In chapter 3, verses 2, 3, and 4, listen to what it says here. "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching I bid thee." Remember, he didn't do it. "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Now, remember this. Jonah had been told to go to Nineveh. He ran. He went to Tarshish. He ends up in the whale's belly. He's there for 3 days. Been through a mess. The whale finally gets indigestion, barfs him out. Jonah hits the sand, and he takes off running toward Nineveh. It says, from where he got barfed up. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It takes 3 days to get from barf site to Nineveh. Listen to the next few words. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey. It's supposed to take 3 days to get there. How long did it take Jonah? One. You say, why? He thought a whale was chasing him. I think he's looking over his shoulder. I'm booking. Someone said, well, you're so far away from shore. He said, I, you don't know what I've been through. I'm booking. And instead of taking him 3 days to get to Nineveh, it took him 1 day. You listen to me and you listen to me very carefully. I've helped a lot of people through the years. I've helped people rebuild their lives after they goof them up or somebody else goofs them up. And the things I'm telling you is not something that some novice came up with. I didn't learn this off the television. I learned it from the Word of God. And I'll tell you right now, once you do finally feel like you finally got over that, but that you bottom out and you get barfed up, you run toward God with everything that you have. You run away from that old life. You run from what sent you into the whale's belly. You get back. Back in your Bible, you get back on your knees, you do the right thing. Nineveh was 3 days' journey from barf site to the city, and he made it in 1 day. He ran to God's will. He ran to the protection of God. He ran back to his Bible. He ran back to his prayer life. He ran back to purity. He said, I don't want to never go back. I'm not turning back. I'm going to run and get as far away from the wrong. He didn't run from God. He ran to God. Run with all your might toward the will of God. You know what I think? You have any idea what he looked like when he got into town? What are those things called? KOA campgrounds? Is that what they're called? They had none of these on the way to Nineveh. If you'd spent 3 days in a pile of barf, don't you think somebody might know? He smelled. He looked a sight. He didn't let anything stop him. He said, I'm getting back to God. I'm getting back to God. He said, well, preacher, I don't know if I'm cleaned up enough to get back to God. Are you all goofed up? You come back to get cleaned up. You don't clean up to come back. You got it all wrong. Well, let me get myself straightened out. Then I'll get back with God. Then you'll probably never get yourself straightened out because you're not going to rebuild a spiritual life with carnal tools. God does it. He helps you do it. You say, well, I feel like I'm a sneaky, rotten, smelly Christian right now. Can I tell you something? In the nostrils of God, we're all pretty stinky. You know, did you know that God, all he has to use are sinners? Don't let anything stop you. You say, well, I don't feel like I have the right clothes. Don't let anything stop you. I don't have the right friends. Don't let anything stop you. Get back to God. Get that relationship back. Don't look back, but run forward. Run toward God's will with all your might. There might be somebody here today. What you need to do is in a moment, I'm going to give an altar call. You need to leave your seat and come down here and get on your knees and get right with God. You're backslidden. You're away from God. You say, I feel like I'm heading toward the whale's belly, or I'm in the whale's belly, or I just got out of the whale's belly. And if you're dumb enough and you think you're going to get away with your sin, you're on your way and you don't even know where you're going, but you'll end up there because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth every son. Might I say, instead of running out of church and ignoring what I've said and thinking that was for somebody else, you might want to take a good long look at you, and you might need to run to the altar and say, dear God, I was in, I'm out, I'm on my way to the whale belly, and I don't want to be there, and I don't want to stay there, and I want to make sure I don't go back there. So I think I'll listen to what the preacher said. I think I'm going to look around while I'm at the bottom of the sea and remember what God saved me from and his great forgiving power. I think I don't want to just get out of my mess, but I want to fix me while I'm in the whale's belly. I want to make sure I'm not going to blame everybody else, because if I do that, I won't get the spiritual doctoring I need. I'm going to make sure that I run toward God, and instead of it taking 3 days' journey, I'm going to make it in 1 day's journey, because I'm disgusted enough with the stinky vomit of life, and I'm going to get myself back right with God. Do you know what takes a long time for people to get back with God? It's not God. It's us. One last thing and I'm finished. If I are you, and you ever been in, on your way to, or just got out of the whale's belly, I just thank God that He never fishes on bottom. Never does. Thank God for the saving power and the forgiveness of God. Hebrews 8:12, He said, "Their iniquities I will remember no more. Along with the bottom of the sea, come, God gets amnesia." God doesn't bring up our past failures. When God looks at me, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees an imputed righteousness. Now, I am to live righteously. I'm responsible for being a righteous person to whatever degree I can. But I am so glad. Hey, man fishes on bottom. But God doesn't. And some of you holy critics, you need to learn how to forgive. Let somebody go on and serve God. If you're a critic, you're a Pharisee, you're a self-proclaimed saint, you say, "Well, I've never been to the whale's belly." Well, let me just warn you then. With an attitude like that, you'll go next. And I'll tell you this, I'd rather smell like whale vomit and have revival than smell like you and do nothing. I'm just as clean as a hound's tooth. I'm not real impressed with that. You were not cleaned up to be cleaned up. You were cleaned up to be used. So may I warn every last one of us, and I say this all the time and I mean it from the depths of my soul. Anything that anybody's done, we're all capable of it, folks. And you know what we all need to do? We all just need to walk very carefully in life and depend on the mercy and the grace of God and throw our entire energy into doing the right thing. And before you take a machine gun and blow away some other teenager in the youth department because you know they did wrong, you might want to stop and realize you're made of the same flesh. You could hurt yourself and mess yourself up the very same way. And I am going to preach that I want you to do right and stay away from wrong, and I don't want you to get messed up in the world, but I'm again going to tell you, if you're just coming out of the whale's belly, your preacher will help you to get cleaned up. I just thank God He doesn't fish on bottom. You say, "Well, Brother Owens, I just don't like your style. It's a little uncouth." This is called whale belly preaching. You know the truth of the matter is, we were talking about vomit and all that. It's even worse than that when you look at what we do to ourselves in regard to our holy God. The Old Testament compares it to dung. And that's because I think God did not know the words to describe to you and I the messes that we create for ourselves, and then the mighty power of His love that will help us get through it and keep us going. I'm finished. But today I just wanted to recommend, if you're heading toward the whale's belly, if you're in the whale's belly, or you feel like you just got out, or you think you're oblivious and you think you're getting away with your sin, you're going to the whale's belly. You might want to know how to behave when you're there. I've tried to give you a little whale belly advice. If you're not saved, can I tell you something? Get saved, because there's something worse than the whale's belly. There's a place called hell. I don't want you to go there. You need to get born again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you saved? Are you born again? Who here would say, "Preacher, I'm not born again. I need to be saved. Pray for me." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. I'm not saved." Okay. Is there somebody here that would say, "Preacher, I know about the whale's belly experience. Whew. I've been there, done that. Don't want to go back. Want God to salvage and help." and you would simply say to God today, God, you've spoken to my heart. Somewhere tucked in the sermon, there's something for me about the whale's belly experience. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Yeah, hands up everywhere. God bless you. God bless you. We've all been there. We will be one day. Yeah. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Give you a couple quick warnings. We'll have an invitation and we'll let God have the rest of the service. But let me tell you something. If you're doing wrong, listen to me. I love you. I do not want you in that whale's belly. I do not. Oh, please. If you're away from God, won't you come up here and get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to be in the whale's belly. I'll get it right. If you've been in the whale's belly and you're getting out, whatever the case, if you need a moment with God, some of you have been there and you say, God, thank you. You got a hold of me before I was digested and spit out by the devil. If you need a moment at the altar, I want you to come. Maybe you know somebody that's there and you say, I need to pray for them. I need a moment to pray for a son or a daughter or, you know, maybe someone's mate. And don't gossip. Don't gossip about it. But you say, there's somebody I know that's going through a whale's belly experience. And if you need a moment, the altar will be open. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Sometimes it's just to say, Lord, help me. I've been there. I don't want to go back. I don't want someone else to go through it. I know I was funny at the beginning of the service and we were joking around, but God knows I don't want your friends to go to the whale's belly. I don't want you to go to the whale's belly. If you're there, I want to help get you out. If you're out, I want to help keep you out. If you're on your way, let's try to head it off. God loves you. God does not want your life messed up. He doesn't want anybody's life messed up. What to do if you're in the whale's belly? What to do? Look around while you're down there and just thank God that He casts our sins, those of the past, those of the present, those of the future. He casts them into the deepest sea. Remember what God saved you from. Tell the Lord, help me to learn everything I'm supposed to learn from this experience. I don't want to be bait again in the whale's belly. Don't just get me out of this. Get me through it. Make me stronger in it. I'll take responsibility for what I have done. I'm going to run toward God with all my might, and then I am going to thank Him that He does not fish on bottom. And I might say this to everybody in here, not only does God not fish on bottom, spiritual people don't either. Spiritual, godly people don't hold against you for the rest of your life, the dumb things that you've done. What right do they have? A bunch of sinners shouldn't be casting stones at sinners. This is the last time through the song.